to another bonus episode of Flashback 64. Maybe we should be calling this, I was thinking maybe Mario Magic, maybe a little subseries, or maybe DK Delights. I'm Gooey, joined as always by McKenna.
Hello.
What's going on? We're here. We're winding the clock back even further, as we've been known to do a little bit already on the show. We thought, you know, we've already gotten into, we're loving our journey through the N64, right? Mm-hmm. But why not take it all back to the beginning? Maybe not the literal beginning of Nintendo, though we could maybe someday. What do you think we could cover of, like, the origins of...
you do, like, card games?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. We'll do a brief backstory on Nintendo's. They're founded in, like, it's, like, 1889 or something. Mm-hmm. And they did Hanafuda cards, and then... They eventually branched out into other collectible cards, toys, mm-hmm. things like that. And we'll definitely, I don't know, we'll have to look into some things we could cover from that. Maybe we could learn how to play some of the games, or mm-hmm. even at the point we're talking about today, they had already gotten into video games. It was a growing, you know, sort of fad, but we thought let's go back to where like the first game in particular we're going to talk about kind of like seriously altered the course of Nintendo and kind of established, like, you know, big franchise and characters we know about, and I think kind of created the Nintendo that we know today. So that's what we're doing. We're talking about today we're going to talk about the Donkey Kong arcade games, as well as the Mario Bros. Arcade games, which I'm pretty excited about. Mm-hmm. Before we get into it, like, are any of the games, needless to say, are arcades? They've been a big thing in our life, but like the height of arcades, I feel like that these games come from. That era is from, like, a decade before we were born. So,
yeah.
That being said, with these games in particular, did you have any connection to them? Did you know really them at all, or?
No.
No. Okay. This is pretty new for you.
Yeah.
Okay. I definitely had some. We can talk about it with each individual one, but some of the games we're talking about today are so iconic. They've popped back up, and I've played different iterations of them, and I had an NES as a kid, so all these I think made it over there. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have some of them. I can't even remember, like, what my origin with it would be, because it's kind of like as ubiquitous as, like, Pac-Man, you know. So I will say, for a more, like, for a more historical look at these, because we're just going to kind of talk about more of our experience playing them, and we'll give some tidbits on the history here, but there's a lot of great stuff out there to check out, to learn, like, some of the histories of these. We even watched some, there's some great videos by The Gaming Historian. We watched, for some of the different ports and home console releases, there's some great videos by Jeremy Parrish. And there's currently a part one. I think it's an ongoing series still by Kate Willert, who gets into like some really specific and really interesting detail about the Donkey Kong games. That I think we watched the video like twice because it was so good. So definitely mm-hmm. want to shout those out. But you know, why don't we get into it and let's talk some. Talk some Donkey Kong.
All right.
So I've prepared a little bit of a mini flashback for these games.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I did this at the gym today.
Wow.
I had
getting productive at the gym.
Yeah, I had the treadmill on low, so I could just, like, type away on my phone.
I guess exercising is being productive.
Like, you know,
that's good for you.
Yeah, we don't need to measure my productivity on this show. So the original Donkey Kong was released in North America. Just our show, we're going by North American, even though we weren't even around then. That came out July 31st, 1981. The number one song, Jessie's Girl by Rick Springfield. Hell yeah. The number one movie, I actually put I think it was like going into before the previous weekend, going into that week, was the movie Wolfen, which is one of the three movies released that year about werewolves. And if you want to go listen to Movies That Whip, we did an episode on The Howling, which we've already mentioned on the show.
Yes.
Or no, wait. We don't, never mind. We mentioned it.
We make
it
a
on,
lot of videos. We're, and
we're contenting, yeah. So this game was massive. It was an arcade game. And I didn't do this for all the other games because this is, I think, the most popular of all of them. So, but it was ported and released on many other consoles. So here's a list, and it's all one giant run-on. So for some of these, I don't know the console that well, and some people might out there might not know, so you might not know where one console ends and one begins, but here they are. Game & Watch, I've already biffed it. All right, I'm starting over. Game & Watch, Atari 2600, Intellivision, ColecoVision, Coleco Mini Arcade, Atari 8-bit, Famicom, NES, TI-99, 4A, IBM PC, Commodore 64, VIC-20, MSX, ZX Spectrum, Amstrad, CPC, Atari 7800, Apple II, Nintendo e-reader, and Game Boy Advanced. So Donkey Kong, it was quite a big game. There's some like common history to this that is kind of key Nintendo lore. Do you know about, like, remember much about the production of this? So Nintendo, they were making, they're already like an arcade manufacturer, like they're
right.
They primarily, I think, were doing games. I mean, they were doing a lot of, like, this was common at the time, but kind of like copycat almost games of other popular games.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, Space Invaders was big in Japan, and so they were primarily making games similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
But Radar Scope, I believe, was the game that they had made, and they thought this would be the in America specifically. The cabinets, I guess, did not do that well, so they hired they had their Shigeru Miyamoto, who did artwork for a lot of their cabinets. They wanted him to repurpose them into a different game, and he came and created Donkey Kong. Now you didn't, we're not gonna do like your fun pre-written blurbs, but if you had to describe the plot and gameplay of Donkey Kong, how would you describe it?
What would you call it? Would you call this a platform?
Well,
it's not sort of.
Yes, yeah. For genre, yeah. This is, I think, beyond Nintendo, I think this is kind of considered sort of the genesis of platform, like the platformer.
Yeah, I guess you're moving, you're jumping, you're climbing things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Donkey Kong kidnaps
you remember
the mayor
name? The mayor.
Pauline.
Yeah, Pauline, yes.
takes her to the top of a tower under construction, skyscraper under construction.
Yeah, it's like a construction site.
Jumpman has to come rescue her.
Yeah, Jumpman.
climbing ladders and jumping over obstacles Donkey Kong sends to get him.
Like those iconic barrels.
Yeah.
We all love it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is kind of the origin story, the beginning. in the great gaming history of two iconic characters of Donkey Kong and Mario, of course, and Mario, who's kind of the face of the platformer genre, I would say.
Yeah.
Here it is. So we played this together, and mm-hmm. you had never played it really before.
No.
Okay, but you were like aware of it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was aware of the concept. I probably couldn't have told you like, oh, this is the first Donkey Kong, and like this is Donkey Kong 3.
Sure. Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, this one kind of overshadows pretty much all, I feel like, all the games we're going to talk about today, for the most part. But how did you feel? What did you think about the game? We played it both on the NES version and the arcade version, but
mm-hmm.
They're pretty similar.
Yeah, I had a harder time with the arcade version.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, something about the arcade controls feel like maybe not as forgiving.
It's much more. I mean, it's a thing too. Like there's a lot more going on in all these games in the arcade version. It feels much more fast paced, because mm-hmm. the arcade hardware is much more powerful, you could say, relatively speaking, to the console mm-hmm. version. So they kind of had to like cut some things and things running a little bit slower. So it definitely was like the arcade version is a little bit more unforgiving, I would say.
I think just like sometimes I felt like I went far enough to get to a ladder, and then I try to go up, and I wasn't far enough.
Okay.
Or I wasn't in the right position, where I didn't feel like I was having that issue.
As much on the NES.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that for sure. I would say, like, I played it at one arcade. Like, I guess it might depend on, like, the cabinet, too, because I was, like, playing it the other week at the Star Worlds arcade instead, which was fun,
right.
And it was on a different style cabinet, and it felt different, too. Like, I felt like I had better control, so I was like, I don't know if it depends on, I don't know, I guess I don't know a lot about the mechanics of, like, arcade machines, but, okay, but, I mean, when we were playing it at home, like, We did pretty good to where, like, we could get through, like, cycled the story a couple times, you know?
Yeah. You get your levels. I don't know if he's jumping to another building or jumping further up.
It seems like he's going up. Yeah, so okay. the first level is so iconic, where you're kind of going up this zigzagging construction site. Then there's one where it's a bit more abstract. That's where it really feels like you're platforming, where you've got the elevators and the things like that. There's one level that's not in the home console version, the sort of like factory level. It seems like there's like the conveyor belts.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if it's a little abstracted, but I presume it's supposed to be. Well, actually, in the arcade version, they say like, how high can you get? And they stack apes on top of each other. So presumably you're climbing up one story. I think that's kind of what makes it fun. I mean, I love a lot of classic arcade games where it's just go until you die. But there is something satisfying about it, especially playing it on the NES version at home, where it's like, you know, you if you get through the four levels or whatever, like, it does feel like, oh, I beat it in a way. And then it's like, I'll just keep trying for more, you know? I think it's a very fun, I think it's still, I don't know, not holds up is the right word, but like, it's still like extremely playable now, to where it's like, you sit down, play it for a little bit, and it's a nice, like, bite-sized little game. This was like a big cultural force, which is kind of funny, because it's like Mario's first game, but then he kind of spins off and goes his other way. What do you think about the Mario world in this game?
You know, it's,
I like being the little,
like,
guy.
It doesn't really evoke like what I think of as the Mario world. You know, I wouldn't expect to start up a Mario game and see, like, skyscraper construction necessarily.
Yeah. Though I like
I'm saying, like, Mushroom Kingdom.
It was extremely adorable when they did bring this kind of back in Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
With the new Donk City and all that stuff. Very charming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, this is a game, yeah, like I said, it's come across my life a lot because of, like, I've played the Game Boy Advance release. I had on the NES. I think it's been, like, snuck into other games. I think there is a version you can play in Donkey Kong 64. Like, you can access it. And I think I played that a ton as well on my N64. Why do you think it was so popular, if you had to guess?
I don't know. I guess it seems maybe a little different than some of the other games or arcade games. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah.
Like, release dates for all the other games.
Yeah, true. Like, I'm thinking, like, this is... Pac-Man would have been around the same time, would it have not? It does feel different than the other ones, you know, where, like, I don't know, I guess it's, like, seems no, like, no big deal now, but, like, you're, like, jumping around and things compared to, like, shooting things or, like, a maze game.
Yeah, I do feel like a lot of others, you're just, like, either you're moving, just, you know, like, just moving,
mm-hmm.
or you're pretty much just shooting, like, you're probably moving back on the screen, shooting things, but here it's, like... All right, we gotta move over here, and we gotta jump over the obstacle, and we gotta climb the ladder.
Mm-hmm. And this, I think there is, like, there's, like, an extra level of charm to it that I think becomes, like, Nintendo's sort of brand. You know, I think the characters are really charming.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a classic damsel in distress tale, but it, you know, it's like a cute little storyline.
I don't know what else, like, includes more human looking
true characters that too at the time. Yeah, like, you're either, I feel like you're usually either, like, a ship or there's a little bit of a Miss Pac-Man, I think, has a little bit of a story to it, right? But yeah, I think it's one of those where it's like it speaks to how Mario is now, where it's like it can be sort of a thing, like, that almost anyone can, like, sort of get into the characters and the things like that, you know. It's not like, I don't know, I feel like young and old, whatever, it doesn't feel like it's specifically marketed towards any one group, you know. So I think that helps too.
Yeah,
it's like a family friendly type game.
They said it was inspired by, like, the Popeye, like, olive oil
yeah.
Dreams.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of actually
sleepwalking.
That's in the that's, I would highly recommend again that Kate Willard video where there's so many parallels to Popeye, and I believe it's even basically proven at this point that it probably started being envisioned as a Popeye game, which also we did play the actual Popeye arcade game that I think Nintendo did do. I think Nintendo also made that, but
yeah, I think so.
I'm actually really excited because part two of that series, which has not come out at the time of recording, is I think supposed to get into more detail, I think, about Popeye's popularity in Japan, which is very fascinating to me. I'm like very I'm very curious about that. But sorry, what were you gonna say?
Yeah, I guess there was also, like, the King Kong, like, I don't know.
Oh, King Kong.
There was some the thought there was some inspiration going on there.
Well, for sure. It's like a whole legal...
But I thought it was kind of funny because, you know, you see some of the other enemies in Zelda games, I think. You know, got some Mothula. The other big monsters. Kaijus. And, you know, Gliok.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you'd imagine that those are very popular, especially in Japan, I would imagine.
Yeah,
primarily where they're coming from, so for sure. And I think that is funny. I think there is a great video by Gaming Historian that gets into the whole, there was like a universal lawsuit against Nintendo. It's a Howard Lincoln story that could be in the Adventures of Howard Lincoln that I pitched, where he defended them. And I guess Universal previously had argued in a different suit that was in the public domain, but then they were suing people for using Donkey Kong or Kong or whatever. So that's very funny. That's funny. Like, Nintendo's first like really big hit, and there's some legal trouble there, but it all worked out. It all worked out. They got him.
Now on your breakfast table, Donkey Kong brand cereal.
Crunchy berries are fun for breakfast. Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong cereal.
The sweet, crunchy corn taste will drive you ape.
You love the crunch.
And we're gonna someday, we'll cover the Game Boy quote unquote remake of it, because there's a lot of cool stuff to that game, but it deserves its own episode. So for anyone wondering why haven't they talked about DK 94 or whatever, I don't remember what, if is that the year, anyway, we're gonna talk about that another time. So Donkey Kong, we love it. And we love our characters, and we're gonna see a little bit of a evolution in the storyline here as we talk about Donkey Kong Jr., which came out June 30th, 1982. And that is where the number one song was Don't You Want Me by the Human League. And the number one movie was E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Mm-hmm. So talk about video game lore there. That's a big one. So Donkey Kong Jr., I definitely knew about it. I've definitely played it, but it's not one that I'd given as much time to. But if you had to describe the plot and gameplay, what's it about and what do you do?
This is another platformer.
Yes.
Mario, is he named now?
Yeah, I think he was actually kind of named.
Yeah.
Sort of named between the two games. Like, yes. Yeah.
He kidnaps Donkey Kong.
Revenge.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm imagining a post-credits scene at the end of the original Donkey Kong where he locks him up. He puts the cuffs on him.
Yeah.
All right, you bastard. You're going to jail.
Yes. Donkey Kong Jr. has to come rescue him. There are some enemies. I don't know what they're called.
There's like, he sends like snakes after him, right?
Yeah, something like that. But it's,
or crocodiles.
It's set in more like, well, I guess it's sort of a few different locations, but I guess there's a lot of like rope climbing.
Yeah.
I guess you can call it. So there's more, you know, Kong mechanics rather than Mario mechanics.
Totally.
You're grabbing things with your arms and using them to climb.
Yeah, which sort of, it does give it, it doesn't feel like, none of these really are necessarily sequels to the other from a gameplay perspective. Like, it does feel like a totally different game. Mm-hmm. What'd you think about this compared to your experience playing Donkey Kong?
I like this one a lot. I think this is my favorite of the ones we were talking about today. Yeah, it was fun. You can kind of, a lot of times there are like two ropes next to each other and you can, you know, climb up one, or you can reach your arm across, so you're climbing up two at once.
And the animation of DK Jr.,
mm-hmm.
is really cool there. Yeah,
and like you can slide down too, and your speed changes depending on how you're playing. And
that's key. I think that gives it, that makes it so much more like dynamic, I guess, where it's like you're climbing one rope and then you get to where you can grab another one to climb up faster, but also there might be like one of the little enemies on it. They might be the Kremlings. But then, like, when you're sliding down, though, one just grabbing one rope is faster there. So it's kind of cool. Like, you kind of have to change it up.
Yeah, I think maybe what I liked about this one is that it felt less luck-based. Like, maybe in Donkey Kong, I wasn't always sure where an obstacle was going to go. Like, maybe it was going to come down a ladder that I was on.
Well, that's because you're not, like, a Billy Mitchell.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe if I was
a world record Donkey Kong player, I might be able to figure out the patterns. But as a beginner, one feels a lot more RNG and one feels a lot more, okay, I can watch it, I can avoid these enemies.
There is a really, there's like a, what is it? I forget who says it. It might even be Billy Mitchell or maybe like that ref guy, not the ref guy, but the guy who watches all the tapes says like there's a couple funny lines about Donkey Kong. I can't quote them exactly right, but one is about how like the average game is less than 30 seconds. It's pure chaos, you know, like really making it out to be just like hell. But yeah, it is. It does feel a little bit more chaotic for sure.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you can like, what is it? Fruits.
The fruits.
You can drop fruits on the enemies.
I definitely prefer that to. We didn't really talk about the hammer.
Right.
I'm sure there's like advanced strategies in the first one involving the hammer, but if like the fact that you can't like, you're kind of stuck.
Anywhere. Yeah, it didn't feel useful to me.
Yeah, because you're like, I don't really progress with it, you know? Yeah. It might be good in some situations, like you're stuck in a hairy spot. And you're like, you know what, maybe I clear some things and whatever, but...
Mm.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely can see that. And also the stages all feel kind of different.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what the second stage was.
That's not the...
Oh, I know what it was.
That's the one that feels the most like a Donkey Kong level, I feel like.
The second stage, you have, like, platforms moving.
Yes, and there's, like, a little spring.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I feel like it gets... Like, the first stage is fairly basic, which is nice.
Yeah.
You get used to the climbing mechanics, do a little jumping.
Mm-hmm.
The second stage, you gotta figure out the spring. Get your jump right, time your jumps with the platforms moving, and then there's the like bird guys.
Oh, the birds!
They like fly I like at you in enemies. A line. Yeah, that part's cool. You have to like move up and down to avoid the birds.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more like gimmicks on it. It feels like.
Uh-huh.
The third stage we put is like cool. Crazy. Are you what are you're like in a computer? Doesn't seem like
I don't know. You have to like unlock
I'm thinking the third one, there's like the little
electricity
thing. That's the fourth
one. Yeah, the third one is
it's actually not that bad, but it's just really hectic and you are really just going
you
from
you got like you got like a like several platforms in the middle and then platforms on the both sides. And
yes.
Then the middle ones have like these they're like the Zelda enemy that
the anti-fairies or whatever. Or bubbles.
Anti-fairies are the ones that
move
across the screen, right? These So these are like attached to the platform.
Yeah.
I forget what those are called. But you have to jump over those, avoid those. You can get rid of those.
Can you? I feel like there's nothing you can do in that stage. You touch those, you die, and there's nothing.
How did you get rid of those? There was a way to get rid of because I did it. Yeah.
Oh. I don't even remember, honestly.
But yeah, you pretty much...
They're like buzzing and it's like
it's chaotic.
It is chaotic. Oh. But
they're going at different speeds.
It really is more like that one is more just pure platforming. It's like you climb to the level and then you just got to time it right to kind of run across and dodge them. Very very fun though. It feels different than the other ones, for sure.
Yeah.
And then you're then talking about the final stage feels like, it does feel like a boss fight. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
You were describing it. I'll let you.
So there's like all these locks, I guess, on the top platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole area is just like ropes, with the keys attached to the ropes. So you got to climb the ropes and you'll go underneath them and just push them up to unlock the top platform. And while avoiding these snake things that are climbing down, and also there's also birds on this level that like zigzag
down. Yeah, the birds platform. Again are back. They're so, back.
Yeah, this one is mostly just climbing up and down and trying to avoid climbing up and down, climbing side to side, trying to avoid the enemies.
Mm-hmm.
I remember towards the end, like getting to the last couple keys, having some moments where I was like, oh my god.
That's a fun way too of incorporating the two arm. Mm-hmm. One arm or two rope, one rope thing, where it's like sometimes you want to do it but you can't. And
yeah, you could like push two keys up at once with the both arms. Yes,
that's so cool. But also
sometimes you had to avoid the enemies.
Yeah, I think you've convinced me that it's the best one. Let me ask you, what do you think about our boy Donkey Kong Jr. as a character?
He's fine. I don't know.
He doesn't really come back too much in Nintendo. I guess I don't know if you know that, but like
No, I don't.
He's not really in a lot of other games. Right. Well, actually,
Mario Kart.
He's in Super Mario Kart, and then like a lot of games cameo mm-hmm. appearance. But I should take that back, because do you know the lore about DK Jr.?
No.
Well, we might get into this when we talk about Donkey Kong Country, but I believe it's at least heavily implied, if not confirmed, that Cranky Kong, the old man mm-hmm. Kong, is actually the original Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And the Donkey Kong that we know and love is DK Jr. grown up.
Mm.
So maybe he has come back, and maybe that's why we only ever see it as cameos, because he's grown up.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need DK Jr. anymore, because we got him. Yeah, he's the star.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess he does come back in Donkey Kong Jr. Math, which we're not really talking about here, but we did witness some of it at the park. I played a little bit of it. It's kind of fun.
It looked interesting.
The only thing about it, I guess it seems like unfinished. I think it was also... We noticed this playing together as a group at this party, but I think in the Jeremy Parrish video, he also talks about there's not like a single player mode, really. So it's always just you doing math against someone. So it's like, I don't know. That seems like kind of something missing there, if you ask me. Yeah. But it's a fun, I think it's a fun little game. It's cute. It's a cute little game.
Yeah, get the kids learning.
I got Donkey Kong, and now I'll get you too, Junior.
I'm Donkey Kong Jr., and that's my papa. I'm trying to save him, and boy, do I need your help.
We'll step chronologically. So, we're not going to talk about Donkey Kong 3 just yet. Let's talk about Mario, our guy Mario. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's some other... I'll have to pull up. He appears in some other games, but... The next game he stars in, this is like we're spinning him off. Platformers, these are great. And they spin Mario off into a game known as Mario Bros. Mario Brothers, spelled Mario Bros. But this came out on March 25th, 1983. So a year later, the number one song was Billie Jean by Michael Jackson. And the number one movie was Spring Break. I don't I don't know what that is. I don't know if I've seen that. Someone out there, let us know. I think I saw the next week, and for weeks on, the number one movie was Never Say Never Again, which is that unofficial Sean Connery James Bond movie where he came back like way after. Anyway, so Mario Bros. Well, what's the story here? And what do you do? What do you do in Mario Bros?
The story? I don't know what the story is.
I'll tell you the story. I got the story. Okay. Well, Mario and
Luigi.
I think this is the first appearance of Luigi. I guess they're plumbers. Maybe they're exterminators. It seems that their job is to take out all these monsters
coming from pipes.
The sewer, in the sewer system, out of pipes. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, how would you describe the gameplay?
This is a platformer where you can play single or multi, two player.
Yeah.
You can play co-op or competitive, right? I don't know if there's that much of a difference.
There's not a different mode. That's actually in that thing you were reading, like describing it. They're just literally referring. It's kind of like in Four Swords Adventures, where you can team up, but you're also kind of competing because you and you can sort of play it however you want. Like, cause it's a game where, you got to take out the monsters.
Yeah, you got monsters coming at you from the pipes. You gotta take them out by. You kind of gotta like stun them. By jumping from like hitting the platforms from the bottom.
Which is a Mario thing.
Yeah,
that's another thing we're seeing.
And then you hop up and kick them out of there.
Yeah, so you can't. it's still we haven't got. You're not jumping on their heads. Right. You are after you're knocking them down though. So,
yeah, but you can just run into them.
Yeah, you just run into them for sure. But yeah, as whatever we were reading says, like you can obviously just strategize and team up and say, oh, you get this one, I'll get this one, or you can just sort of fight your opponent and try to, you know, knock him down and take him out quicker than the other ones. And you could even probably. You know, if you kind of hit the monsters and they come get back up, you could probably be mean and try to kill your opponent, you know. And I think that is a cool aspect of the game, that it sort of has it's not just risk reward, but you know what I mean? Like, do I let my teammate go for that, or do I want more points, you know, type thing? Mm-hmm. I mean, whenever we played it together, we're trying to cooperate, you know.
Yeah. There's also every so often just like a gather all the coins.
Oh, like a bonus stage, which I always love those type of levels in arcade games because it feels like Galaga has one. It always feels like I love that. And it feels like a little treat. You know what I mean? This is cool because there's like different kinds of enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, you want to describe some of them?
It's got the like Koopas.
Yeah, I don't know if they're called that. Yeah. It doesn't really, you know. It does actually name them in some of them. They actually have screens where they like introduce them to you and like their movements and stuff like that. But I don't know about what it is. But yeah, it's a turtle. It's a Koopa.
Yeah.
So here we go. First Koopa. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
We also see it's not an enemy, but we see the fireballs. They go across the screen.
Yeah.
So okay, we're getting some Mario. Mm-hmm. What else we got?
We got the other
the others. And the rest.
The rest.
Well, there's the crabs.
The crabs, yeah.
How could you forget that?
Had a name.
Should we look this up, what their names are? Because I think they are all like fun names. But the crabs, I like the crabs a lot. They're one of my favorite enemies because you hit them and then they get a mean face.
They get aggro.
Yeah.
You gotta aggro them before you can stun them.
What else was there? Oh, there's like the ones that we didn't typically get this far, but they're like the like freezing ones that would kind of freeze the platforms and make them slippery.
Yeah, I don't think we really got that far.
It's kind of hard, okay? Oh, man, it's... what year did I say this was? 1983? Yeah, what was your... I don't know, what was your feeling about playing this? Did you enjoy it? What was it like compared to the other ones?
This is, I think, fun as a multiplayer game.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And, you know, a little different than the other ones. More combative rather than avoidant.
Okay, yeah, for sure, yeah. Because you're... This one, you are, like, enabled with the ability to, kill most of the enemies, you know?
Uh-huh.
Oh, look at that. In the GBA version, they add, like, Bowser and things like that. That's wow. Cool. Okay, so the Koopas are called Shell Creepers.
Okay.
The Sidestepper.
Possible inspiration for Koopa.
Possibly. Who could say? Fighter flies. Those are the cool ones because they fly up, and so you have to hit them like as they're on the ground, or else you can't get them. So that's kind of cool. That's one thing that's fun too is like the enemies they all feel different. So like even though you're doing in basically the same level over and over, like the adding the different enemies gives it a different feeling, you know.
Uh-huh.
What was big for me. And we'll probably talk about this more potentially in a different episode, but I believe my brother Michael had this, but I played it a lot, was the Super Mario Brothers 3 remake for NES, or well, for GBA, but of the NES game. And they had basically a level you could go to and you could play... like a updated version of the original Mario Bros. And they called it battle mode where you could kind of, you'd kind of compete. I think it'd be like you'd have to like have, I think it's like five, like you'd fill up a meter, I believe, when you killed the enemies and whoever filled it up first, like one.
Mm.
So I did actually have a ton of fun playing that, but, yeah, here we go. This is, you know, this is the begin. That is like the origin point of the Mario Bros, which is pretty exciting.
Nice.
Yep, here we go. It is the first appearance of Luigi. I don't know why I question that, but they all have little. I like all the little jingles in these games. It's kind of I should say like these do all start with like Mario Bros. Starts with the little... This is common in a lot of, like, arcade games or, like, older games where it just starts... Or even, like, we're talking about Tetris. They kind of just take... Like, this has, like, the little Mozart
your
song.
Class. Your they've passed their... What is the term I'm thinking
Public
of?
Domain?
Yeah.
They'll start with, like, a little do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Uh-huh.
But I will say, we glossed over it, so I apologize to the big Donkey Kong fans out there, but they all have, like, some unique tunes, and I actually think there's some of the soundscapes in the original Donkey Kong, in particular, are really iconic, and, I mean, we see it in the theme of Donkey Kong Country, like, they do sample some of that music, so... yeah, the music is pretty cool, a cool aspect of these, but it's still, I mean, obviously it's a little bit primitive, but, just in the way, but I think it, for what they were, they're actually kind of like, pretty unique at the time with some of the sound design there. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely got to give them some props.
Something's coming up the plumbing, poor Luigi's in a bind. Giant turtles out to get him, creepy crabs are right behind. Fighter flies, cheaper shites, they're all coming out the pipes.
Mario, where are you?
So we take it to our final game. This one's a bit of a, it's kind of an outlier. It's kind of unique. It's actually kind of more like some of Nintendo's, their older arcade games, which were shooters, more of the the shooters. But let's talk about Donkey Kong 3, which came out, why don't I have the date? October 1983. I don't know. I don't remember the exact date's not there, but number one song, Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler. I don't know why this is funny, but it is just like, yeah, I don't know. Like,
because we've been there have been a couple times. We had one Lethal Company session.
Oh, where, yeah.
That was a main character of the night.
Like, all of these songs are just like, it's just funny. Like, I don't, they're all funny because it's just like, oh, it's so, like.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
I guess, you know, that's why they're number one. But the number one movie, The Big Chill, which, again, I don't know what it is. I didn't even bother to check. We're not watching it. We don't have time for all this. But, I think a couple of the weeks beforehand, E.T. was still the number one movie. It looked like that movie dominated that year, which, you know. Yeah, for sure. So, okay, Donkey Kong 3. What's the story and what do you do in it? Do you remember the main character's name?
Do I remember the main character's name?
Yeah.
Is this a trick question?
Donkey Kong is not the main... The protagonist.
Is it not Mario?
No, it's not. All right, let me pull up a picture of this guy. His name's Stanley.
Oh, wait. I kind of...
You don't remember Stanley? Does he have a last name? Stanley. Nope. Stanley is his name. Look at him. Look at this cute little fellow.
Yeah, that looks nothing like Mario.
Oh, he's in a different game. Oh, Greenhouse. Oh, okay. Stanley, also known as Stanley the Bug Man.
Oh.
Yeah. So he is, I guess he's from originally this Game & Watch game, which another Mario, or not Mario, Nintendo gaming thing at the time we have is the Game & Watch. We'll have to find ways to cover that at some point. But here you see some of the classic gameplay of, it's a small picture of Greenhouse, but it looks like you're using your little spray can to spray onto enemies. I don't even know. Yeah, bugs that are coming down to get the flowers. Mm-hmm. So I guess...
Oh, okay, that's where that comes from.
It's a modern adaptation. but they threw in Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a sort of platformer shooter. You know, you've got a little platform that you're jumping up and down.
Mm-hmm.
While trying to shoot at Donkey Kong to get him to retreat upwards.
To get him off.
Towards.
He's in the greenhouse and he's pissing all these bugs off. He's punching the bees.
Yeah, shaking the... yeah. Yeah, you gotta... What happens when you get...
When you get him up there?
Yeah.
He just, like, leaves. I don't know.
It's at the...
Does he fall down?
He does fall at some point, right?
I mean, he's got to. It's classic. When Donkey Kong takes a tumble, that's always a good time.
So he shakes up the beehive to aggro the bees, which apparently doesn't make them attack him.
They're all going for Stanley.
Yeah.
I guess they're that's right. How could we forget this? Yeah, you push him so his head gets in a beehive. Then he faces the consequences of his actions.
Yes.
Something's wrong with my computer there. Yes.
Yeah, but so you've got the bees coming at you, which you gotta avoid. You got them taking the flowers from below you, around you. Which you can't let him take them all.
Yeah, the more you kind of protect, the more points you get at the end of the level.
And then there's these, like, inchworms, which...
Oh, those guys.
When you shoot at them, they just stop. Unless you got like, the super gun.
The super gun, which is like, a upgrade to your... It makes the spray can, like, just crush enemies and push Donkey Kong back even farther.
Yeah. So you gotta try not to hit the inchworms when they're in front of Donkey Kong, because then they just act as a shield.
And he sort of comes back down, right? If you don't press.
Yeah.
So you gotta, like, keep the pressure on him.
Mm-hmm.
I do, like, I don't know what, I like this one. It does actually, like, I like it because it feels like maybe Donkey Kong doesn't need to be in it, I guess. Like, it does feel like Donkey Kong's kind of shoehorned in there, though I like seeing Donkey Kong, and his animations are some of the best in the game. But other than that, like, it does feel like a game closer to, like, I always say Galaga because it's, like, my favorite one because I played it a lot as a kid, but, like, it feels closer to one of those games, but with, like, a totally, from what I know, I guess, I'm not, like, a connoisseur, aficionado of games from that time, but a unique sort of setting and like, feeling to it, you know? Like, if... Mm. Like, it's like those in gameplay, but, like, in presentation, it's completely different. And so, I don't know, I think it still has that Nintendo sort of charm to it.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about playing it?
It was fine.
Yeah?
I like the levels where I could just, like, mash the shoot button and just, like, get him get Donkey Kong before anything else could happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like I could play, like, I was okay at it until the insects that, like, had the projectile,
the big bee shots, type things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come out. And
those are tricky. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it is, like, less. The other ones, I feel like it is more focused on, I could see this being someone's favorite, because, like, if you get really hooked on that type of gameplay, it's just that, and it's so, like, you know, it can be very challenging, and I think it, I don't know, I think it plays really well, but I think we're talking about, like, that compared to what was great about some of the other, maybe not Mario Bros. As much, but Donkey Kong 1 and 2 is that they do feel like these sort of there's, like, variety. They feel like an adventure almost, even though you're not really going anywhere. But, you know, there's some variety, mm-hmm. and, like, different vibe going on in each level. You know, I could mm-hmm. see how some people wouldn't like that as much. Where, like, because if you don't like one aspect, then it's like, I don't know, I don't like this level, or I don't like that. Whereas, like, if you're playing mm-hmm. Donkey Kong 3, it's kind of like, it's like the one sort of loop, gameplay mm-hmm. loop, you know? And I guess, so I could see that being, like, a pro or a con, depending on what you like, you know?
Yeah.
But it didn't have that same, like, sense of, like, progressing as the other ones, you know? It'd be like, mm-hmm. I remember being like, oh, this is the level with the red sky. And that, I knew that one is, like, that's where it's, like, really hard for me, you know?
Uh-huh.
So there's a little bit of that, but I think, yeah, comparative to the other ones, it's not as charming. So, yeah, all around, you'd say Donkey Kong Jr. is your favorite one?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, what do you think? There are definitely other appearances of them at the time, and obviously, like, they go on and they break out into, we'll talk about Mario's appearances, his big games on other consoles between this and Mario 64, but I don't know, what are you coming away from this? What's your big what's the moral of the story here, the takeaway you have for the arcade era of Mario and Donkey Kong, I guess?
It's a little goofy.
Yeah.
It's got some goofiness going on.
Yeah. It's not afraid to be silly.
Yeah, definitely.
it does, like, kind of change Nintendo. I feel like that becomes kind of their brand.
Their brand, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I love these. I pretty much every one of these games, I think, has their own unique thing about it that makes them stand apart from the others and makes me kind of want to play them again. And I don't know. I had a lot of fun just preparing for this and kind of diving back into these games. They really like this era, like arcade games in particular, had like kind of always put me in sort of a more child-like state playing them, because they do feel more like toys. They feel like little games you're playing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like as opposed to I mean, obviously the Mario continues to be like a game, but they're toys in the sense of like it's something you pick up and play for like a half hour, unless you're going right. nuts, but that you play with it for a half hour and it's really fun.
Bite size.
Yeah. And so it always like charms me and gives me like I don't know. These are ones that kind of can send me back to being a kid, because even the ones I haven't played, because I don't know, there's just like there's always such a charm to them. And I love, I don't know, any excuse we get, we should say we went to the Star Worlds arcade in DeKalb, and we had a fun afternoon. That was one that was like token based, so
yeah,
it does that one especially gives it that feeling of when I'm playing Donkey Kong, it's like it just feels like, yep, I paid my thing. I'm playing the game. This one experience is what it is. I've committed to it, you know. There was one other thing I was gonna say.
I think somebody at the arcade at
that's what I was gonna say
was
I've probably edited it out, but there was like a I only took the time to do it because I would never do this if we had a guest. I would just move on if I forgot what I was going to say. But I like really wanted to. There's something like, oh, I forgot to say this. And it was the guy at the arcade. Yeah, please tell us about the guy at the arcade.
So we got to the arcade, what, like hour and a half, 2 hours before it closed?
Mm-hmm.
We're like, so somebody's on the Donkey Kong.
This was the machine. Underground Retrocade, actually, in Dundee, which also highly recommend.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's on there when we get there. So we're like, all right, we'll go. We'll play some other things.
We went there. We've gone to many arcades now, and some of them repeatedly, because we're like, when we're doing a certain game that's there, we're like, well, let's go there and like, you know, re-experience it on arcade or experience it for the first time, whatever. And so we were there to play the Donkey Kongs. And yeah, the guy.
So yeah, this is when we play all the, we played Donkey Kong Jr. We played Mario Bros. We played the Popeye game. Guy's still on the machine.
Well, we didn't play Donkey Kong Jr. We played Donkey Kong 1. And 3. He was playing Junior specifically. He was playing
Junior.
Yeah. And he was...
I guess you're...
He was, like, really into it. Like, he would die and he'd be like, oh, fuck, God damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he was having a good time, though, I should say. He was having a great time. It's just, like, the games can piss you off, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, we're like, all right, we've played these, and then we... go around,
he would
spend an hour playing some other things. I think it was like 15 minutes before close when we finally
got to play. Chance.
Yeah.
he was taken off. But he left again. This is what I was saying about the childlike sense of wonder. I saw him, he was putting on his jacket. He had the biggest grin on his face. You could tell it was the guy who played this at the time. Well, because he said to the owner, he said, oh, man, I used to play this all the time as a kid. And he's like, I couldn't beat my high score tonight, you know? But he was, like, there's something so magical about that. Because, obviously, this game has been, like, re-released on other things. And I don't know about this guy's life, but for a lot of people, like, some of these games could be so big at that time, and then they just, like, they were at a physical place you had to go and play them. And I've definitely experienced them all like that, where it's like at a bowling alley or something, but not at the level. Like when I talk to my dad or so-and-so about a certain game, they're like, oh yeah, I would play that at the laundromat, like while doing my laundry or something like that. And so that's, there is something like I didn't experience that necessarily, but there's something about that feeling of like, this existed in a time and like a physical place, yeah. Which I think is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, though it is cool that these are also now accessible on the home market for people mm-hmm. who know about it, obviously. Like,
yeah, some people probably still have that like similar place memory, just like, you know, when you're a kid and you can't just go buy any game that you want, maybe you played it at a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
I have like this very specific memory of the first time I played Majora's Mask.
Okay.
It was in a friend's basement. It was like dark basement, big TV, and just the first time I saw the Dawn of the First Day like, screen, it was like, oh my god.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely have that, like with some of the cousin games we've discussed. So, yeah. So yeah, that's our journey into the origins of these beloved Nintendo characters. Like I said, there's a ton of great other videos and resources that'll give you more of a historical rundown. But that's sort of what it was like. I don't know. It was great to hear, McKenna, your experience with it, because like, it kind of blew my mind that you were like, oh, I haven't, like, you were aware of them, but, like, hadn't even played them. You know? Like, that's not unreasonable at all. It's just, like,
uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's, like, I guess time marches on, and, you know, these games are,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're iconic, though, so I don't think they're, like, forgotten, necessarily. It's just, yeah. It's
Nintendo should just, like, put arcades in their newer games. They could just be, like, an arcade, and you can go into the, you know, as your character, walk into the arcade.
Yeah, they
go up to a machine, and then and then your screen is just like the arcade game. The, you know, you can be playing.
They could release Donkey Kong arcade collection or what, Nintendo arcade collection, and you can go like and do exactly what you said, and they could have their games. That'd be cute. Yeah, I'm excited. We're gonna talk more about these characters, obviously. We're kinda hit in and fill in the gaps, because I think there's a lot of games between here and N64 with Mario and Donkey Kong that you haven't really played as much, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've played a lot of the bigger ones. Most of the ones I think we'll talk about. So I think it'll be fun, because we'll get to hear your thoughts. I'm playing them for the first time, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get to be nostalgic a little bit. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Well, with that, thanks to everyone for listening. We've got some other fun stuff coming up soon. We just posted, I think we got a decent amount of response to it already. So if you're listening, you're a patron, you may have already done this, but we did put up a patron Q&A question, which by the time this comes out, we might have already recorded that episode, but I'm excited to get into more of those. So thanks to all our patrons. We're on all the social medias. Go find us there. We got merch. I don't know. We plug enough stuff. I say, let's get out of here. Let's go do the Donkey Kong. Bye-bye.
Bye.